Well, good morning. It's good to be here in God's house again. Good to see each one of you here. God bless you all. Greetings in Christ's name to everyone here. Did enjoy the service as well thus far. It's been a blessing to my life. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. This is the verse on our bulletin this morning. And I thought, you know, if God is going to be exalted among the heathen, well, certainly he should be so among us that are his children. And I trust that is our desire here this morning, to exalt his name. Also, that one verse that the one class shared, I hadn't caught it all. I caught the reference from Psalm 118. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. That's a very, very good verse. Very reassuring thing that God is for us. God is wants the best for us. He's on our side. Trust that we always bear that in mind. This morning, maybe some of you know that I have been looking at some of the Sermon on the Mount and what we find there. I've decided to not do that this morning. I am working on a couple of different thoughts from there. But I felt led to share from 1 Corinthians chapter 16 this morning for a message. Couple different thoughts from the Sermon on the Mount that I was still working on and felt like I needed more time on, and I felt led to share, felt inspired about this topic here that I find in 1 Corinthians 16, and maybe a few of you will recall some things from, I would have shared some thoughts similar probably over 5 years ago here. So if a little memory tickles you, you're probably remembering correctly. 1 Corinthians 16, we have here the end of the letter written to the church of Corinth by Paul. There's a lot of things addressed in these letters, just a whole host of things, practical things, things they needed direction on, immorality in the church, different gifts in the church, observing the Lord's Supper. They were, you know, they needed some direction and correction. The resurrection he talks about, order of headship. There's just a whole array of topics that Paul covers. And here in the close of this letter, we have kind of a whole, some last-minute advice and instructions, maybe you would say. A couple of verses here that caught my eye. And I'd just like to start reading at verse 14. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 14. He says, "Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such." Specifically, this parenthesis here is what caught my eye. He says, you know this house of Stephanas. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. I'd like to look at this man a little bit, his household, and especially the description that we have written about them. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. We have very little written about this man and his family. We have his name. It occurs here, I believe. And also, okay, it occurs twice here in the verses we read, 15 and 17. The only other place in our Bibles, I believe, we find it is in chapter 1. So we don't know very much about him. But I believe what we have is a little glimpse, a little window into this family, this man and his family. I believe it is inspiring to me and hopefully for all of us as Christians. They were addicted to the ministry of the saints, it says. And I'd like to use that for a title this morning. Addicted to the ministry of the saints. Thinking about that phrase, breaking that apart a little bit. This word addicted, it's the only time here in our King James Bible that we have that word used. Some translations render this word as devoted or dedicated. And I believe those words fit quite well. I'll probably use some of those words interchangeably this morning. But what's addicted? I don't want to take this word out of context or make it say something that it doesn't say here, but I just thought of that word as we use it today. The word addicted or addiction. I think we're somewhat familiar with that today. A simple dictionary definition says of addicted, it says, becoming dependent on a substance, thing, or behavior. And we're familiar with some of that. Addictions, maybe more than ever before, are a real thing today in our society. There's a lot of harmful substances that people get addicted to. Maybe they get addicted to alcohol or smoking. You start on those things and you can hardly get away from them. They're addictive. You just need more. You need to keep going. And then there's some hard drugs like meth and cocaine, heroin. Maybe fentanyl is one we've heard about a bit on the whole national scene. Mr. President Trump has talked a lot about the illegal fentanyl traffic and how to stop that. It's very serious about that, it seems. And that's because it is a highly addictive drug. And it's also extremely dangerous because a little bit, like 2 milligrams, they tell me, can be fatal. And I don't really know what 2 milligrams is, but think 5 to 7 grains of salt. A couple grains of salt. A couple grains of this stuff is enough to be fatal, kill you. And I'm intrigued by that. You would think people would stay far away. That's the part that intrigues me. It's so dangerous. You would think people would stay far away. I don't want anything to do with that. But no, they get addicted, maybe on softer drugs, if you will. And then they need stronger, and they need more. And their body just craves that. I don't have many statistics here this morning, but they tell me in year 2023, around 110,000 people in the United States alone perished from drug overdose. 110,000. And I'm told it was down to maybe like 80,000 in 24. They thought that was a very good, a lot better. I don't know how accurate those numbers are, but that's the numbers I came up with. It's a serious problem today. And of course, there's a lot, maybe we could say there's lesser addictions as well. You know, even things that are fine and good like eating food. Eating can turn into overeating and can become an addiction. And some feel even things like coffee can become an addiction that us Mennonites have. I won't start that or continue that. But what about our technology today? There's a lot of talk about that. The smartphones. There's a lot of concern out there of that becoming an addiction, especially teens getting addicted to the smartphone. And I think probably all of us, probably us adults, I would say, how different are we? Think about it. How often do you just check your phone through the day? Not because it rang or chirped or anything like that, but you just check it because you do, and, you know, to look at your messages or emails. It's just a habit. Is it an addiction? Okay, so we're familiar with addictions, at least to some degree or another. Is addicted as we know it in the English language, is it the same as it's used here? The Strong's gives words for definition like appoint or ordain, set, and it does use the word addict to describe this word addicted here. And as I said, you know, some translations render it either devoted or dedicated. And I particularly like that last one, dedicated to the ministry of the saints. Because, you know, addiction as we know it, I would say it's primarily a negative thing. I can't think of too many things that we think we commonly use as being addicted to that we use in a good way. It's a negative, it has a bad connotation to us, and for good reason. But here in this verse, we have this word used in a very positive way. This household of Stephanas had become addicted to the ministry of the saints. They had devoted themselves to the work of Christ. I believe it had become just a part of them, their life. What an example for us. Addicted. They had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Maybe we could ask, what is the ministry of the saints? The Amplified Bible says it like this: they have consecrated and devoted themselves to the service of the saints. They were devoted to the service of the saints. Now, I'm not sure what picture you get when you think of the word service. One picture I get is a service truck. And maybe some of you are quite familiar with a service truck. A lot of companies, you know, equipment dealers and so on, have a service truck. Well, what's the service truck for? Well, you know, that's the truck that goes out on the road or the farm or the construction site and so on, goes to another machine or vehicle and brings support, like, you know, maintenance and repairs out there. Maybe that's the truck that brings a new tire out for the truck that has a blown tire, or brings fuel out to the truck that ran out of fuel, and so on. Parts. And you know, a truck like that, they are outfitted many times with all kinds of tools and equipment, just whatever is thought necessary to get the job done. And maybe it's a generator and a welder. Maybe it's a crane to lift heavy parts and so on. Maybe it's an air compressor to run tools and fill tires and so on. Just whatever is thought necessary to keep that piece of equipment in good repair and get it back up and running. You know, that's not the truck that is used to haul a load of hay or corn. It's not the machine that does the work of a farm tractor, but it's rather the vehicle that is dedicated to serving those other things. Okay? Another picture I get when I think of service, I think of a service department. Maybe at a tractor dealer, maybe at a vehicle dealership. All your dealerships, no matter if you drive Ford, Ram, or Chevy, they have a service department. They all need it at some point, okay? A service department, and that is to keep those vehicles going. Maintenance, repair. Those are two pictures I get when I think of that word, service. And I like the picture especially as I think of a service vehicle, service truck. These people, this household of Stephanas, were like that. They were dedicated to the service of the saints, dedicated to serving the house, the church of God. They were just there to give aid and support wherever it was needed in the brotherhood. And it had become a way of life for them. They were addicted to the ministry of the saints, it says. As I mentioned, we don't have very much about this man, Stephanas. In fact, I may even be assuming this is a man's name. I don't know. I tend to think it is. Maybe it's because of our English word name, Stephen. It looks similar. But in case you're wondering, there are a few examples in the Bible where a woman's name is used just like this. For example, we have, I believe it was Paul as well. He mentions the house of Chloe. He mentions the house of Lydia, and so on. And so I am assuming this is a man. If you have evidence to contend with that, please tell me afterwards. But so I do refer to him in that way. But what can we learn from what we do have here this morning? Paul says in verse 15, I beseech you, he starts out here, I beseech you, brethren, consider, there's an appeal to look at and consider their example. There's just a couple observations that I would make as I looked at this. Some things that stood out to me. And the first one I have is that I note that both times in this chapter, both times we have his name mentioned in this chapter and also in chapter 1, it mentions his family. We don't need to turn there, but 1 Corinthians 1, it's verse 16. He's talking about they were divided about, and there was dispute about who baptized who and who belonged to where and so on. And they were talking about baptism, the subject, and he says, "I baptized." He was talking about who he had baptized. He did very few. He said, "I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other." So we just have that short little note there that Paul had baptized this household. But it's interesting to me that both places include his family. Here is a man who not only had a family, but he had his family with him. He had spent time with his family. He had given direction in his home. And they were together as a Christian family in God's work. And his dedication to the service of God's people had become a dedication of his family, had become their dedication and addiction, if you will, as well. And I see here this morning a good example for us as parents, especially us as dads. You know, we can get passionate about a lot of things. Maybe it's farming or hauling sheds or driving truck or whatever, the business. We can get passionate about a lot of things. And you know, we like when our children are passionate about the same things. And sometimes they're not, and that's okay. I remember the one time one of my boys said, I really like Ram trucks. I'm like, wow, you didn't hear that from me. I wonder where I've already heard that from, you know. We like when our children are passionate about the same things that we are. But do my family see first and foremost that I am passionate about the work of God and about the service serving in my brotherhood, and that any of all these other things come in line behind that? Stephanas and his family were together in the service of the saints. Another observation, and I already alluded to this one, is that Stephanas and his household had given their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ, to the Lordship of Christ. The Apostle Paul had brought the gospel message to this city, the city of Corinth, some years before, and this man and his family had heard the gospel and believed. Paul says here they were the first fruits of Achaia. And this Achaia was being the region or the province that Corinth was in. They were among the first of the area to hear and accept the gospel message as Paul preached it. I see a people here that were open-minded. They were spiritually discerning. Corinth was a very idolatrous city, and they were not a part of that. Or if they were, they had abandoned that culture of idolatry for the gospel, the good news of salvation in Christ Jesus. Paul came to Corinth in his missionary journeys. In the book of Acts, we have it in chapter 18, verse 8. It says, many of the Corinthians heard, believed, and were baptized. And it would seem like Stephanas and his family were right there among those first believers. And of course, I referred to that verse in chapter 1 here of 1 Corinthians. That it tells us specifically that Paul baptized both him and his household. They had all become believers in Christ and were baptized, and as we see here, were dedicated in the church of Christ at Corinth. A third observation I have is that they had chosen. They had chosen to addict themselves to the ministry of the saints. They had chosen to be devoted in this way. I see a choice here. This was a voluntary thing. They were not forced to serve. I don't believe it was a grudging service either. They had chosen to serve God's people as they could, and it had become just a part of their Christian life. They were addicted. They had a love for God, I believe, that resulted in a love for the people of God and a longing to want to serve God and his people. In verse 14 here, Paul says, this one we started out with, he says, let all your things be done with charity. And it seems to me Paul is following up with that and saying, well, and by the way, right here among you is, you have an illustration right here of that. You have an example of doing things with charity. I believe their Christian service was done out of a heart of love. This morning, what are some things we can learn as we look at this example? Do we as Christians have a need to be dedicated today in this way? Well, I would say certainly there is. You know, we have needs. As human beings, we have needs. We're needy creatures. There's physical, emotional, and spiritual needs that we have. And as long as there are people in a broken world, there will be needs. And you know, as members of the household of Christ, as saints in the church of God, we aren't exempt from some of these needs at times. Galatians 6, verse 10, familiar verse, says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We have the command to do good, to serve all people, and especially our fellow Christian. I don't think this verse is giving room for us to neglect those needs outside the brotherhood, outside the church. Certainly not. And I don't want to minimize that in any way this morning. As we think of ministering, serving those in the church of God, in the brotherhood, let's not minimize serving others. But you know, I think there is also the possibility that we can be so actively looking for ways to serve outside, out there, serve others, that we miss the ones we have right on the bench beside us, right close to us in in our church, in our brotherhood. And let's be careful about that. What are some things to consider as we think of being dedicated to the service of the saints like this family? First of all, I have very basic but foundational. I need to personally have a love for God in order to have this kind of addiction to the service of the saints. Very basic but foundational. A thankfulness for what God has done for me. Grateful for salvation from sin. That little simple children's song I think of. J-O-Y, Jesus first, myself last, and others in between. Jesus first. You know, we have verses that command us to serve others. Verses like Galatians 6, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We have verses like 1 Peter 4, verse 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Those are commands. But you know, if I don't have, first of all, a love for God in my heart, commands like these are just pretty tough, pretty hard, and they will be burdensome. There's going to be little joy in serving others, I believe, because we like, by nature, we look out for me. Jesus first. And of course, we have no greater example in this area of ministering to the needs of others than of Jesus Christ himself. It says in Mark 10, verse 45, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. That was the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry on earth. And each one of us, as little Christ, if you will, it needs to be your mission, it needs to be my mission as well, to serve. But it needs to start from a heart that has been changed and a heart that has love for God. Secondly, I need to have a love for the saints in order to be addicted to the service of the saints. Once again, very basic but foundational, I believe. My love for God will result in a love for people, and especially the saints of God. And I ask the question, do you this morning consider the brothers and sisters that you go to church with every Sunday? Do you consider them the saints of God? That's a term Paul used here in talking about those of the Corinthian church. And if you look into the church here at Corinth, I tell you what, they had some real problems. There was immorality in the church that Paul had to address. And he had to set them straight on the Lord's Supper. I talked about some of these things. Chapter 1, it talks about the divisions and contentions that were there. And there were some there that challenged Paul, his apostleship and authority there. They just had a lot of things messed up in that church. But in all of that, Paul addresses them as saints. Saints. I think this can be a challenge to me, to us. Do I consider my fellow brothers and sisters as the saints of God? You know, it just doesn't take long in doing church with people, working alongside them, sitting on the same bench, and so on, and you learn to know those people pretty good. Maybe I've said that, you know, maybe you've heard that many times from me, I'm not sure. And you learn to know their shortcomings, their idiosyncrasies, whatever you want to put in there. You learn to know those brothers and sisters pretty good. Can you and can I still consider these people that I go to church with the saints of God? No, we don't. We do not overlook sin in their life or in the church. But can we be long-suffering? And can we be forbearing as we're called to? Do I bear in mind that my love for my brother or sister is a reflection, really it is, of my love for God. And there's many verses. Just read those verses in 1 John. It brings it out over and over. The man say, I love God and hateth his brother. He is a liar. And so on. So I repeat, in order to be addicted to the ministry of the saints, we need to have a love for the saints. Thirdly, in order for me to be addicted to the ministry of the saints, I need to know the saints. Once again, very basic. But do you and do I know the people that I go to church with? Or do I go to church with a brother or a sister? And yeah, we go to the same church, and occasionally we sit on the same bench and we say hi and exchange a few words, but I don't know him really that well, or her. We don't associate and have much in common otherwise. I'm going to say this morning that as a church, I hope we do much better than that. And that we need to do much better than that to fulfill this command. You know, how am I to minister to someone if I hardly know them? Much less know what they're going through, if they need my support, my help. I believe this ministry, this thing of ministry to the saints, requires getting acquainted. It requires learning to know one another. It requires hospitality on my part. Romans 12:13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. We find that same phrase again in 1 Timothy 3, given to hospitality. Am I known to be that kind of a person? A hospitable kind of person. And I'm thankful to say that I know you. That I go, those of you from here that I know well. I'm glad to say that I go to church with some very hospitable people. People that are given to hospitality. God bless you for that. But my challenge is, I need to know those in my brotherhood. And yes, even those, you know, that maybe have different, a totally different personality, totally different interests, and so on than myself. I need to learn to know them, have them over for lunch, visit them, show an interest in their life, find out what they're passionate about. Fourthly, in this ministry of service to others, it is a ministry that any Christian can addict themselves to. Any Christian, no matter your age, can choose this kind of addiction. I don't see this as just a calling for church leaders. I'm not aware that Stephanas was a church leader there at Corinth. But everyone has a part in this service. And there's a verse stood out to me from 1 Timothy 5, verse 10 it is. It says, well reported of, it's talking about the widows there, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. That speaks of a person. And specifically talking about widows there, it speaks of one who is actively ministering to the needs of the saints. It's a blessing. Also, Matthew 10:42, it says, Jesus talking, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. I see from that verse that's just a very simple act that even a young child can do. Give someone a drink, a cup of cold water. And I believe this morning that God does not view Christian service through the same lens that we do so many times, so often. So often we tend to be on the lookout for those big things. Something big to do for in service for God, and I think that's good and right and fine. You know, Jesus said, "Whosoever will be great among you shall be your servant." And I think maybe our word servant is watered down pretty heavily in our English language. But what about if we put slave in there? That's probably closer to what it actually means to us today, is what it meant to them. "Whosoever will be great among you shall be your slave." That doesn't sound very attractive to me. And so I believe many times the opportunities for Christian service that come my way really don't look all that attractive and really don't look all that great. And maybe you've heard the saying, maybe you've heard me say it before, opportunity is often missed by people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. What all was included in this ministry that Stephanas and his household were doing, I'm not sure. Paul doesn't give us, fill in a lot of details of that, if any. One thing we do see in these verses, verse 17 and 18 there, is that Stephanas went with these two other Christians to visit Paul and perhaps help him out. I'm not sure why all they went. Paul was writing this, I believe, from somewhere elsewhere in Asia, I believe. And what all their trip was to Paul, I'm not sure. Maybe it was to ask Paul's advice. Maybe it was to let him know how the church at Corinth was doing. I'm not sure. Perhaps this letter was brought back to the church by them. I don't know that either. But at any rate, we find that they were a huge encouragement to Paul. He says in verse 18, "They have refreshed my spirit and yours." And as I said, I'm not sure if that was why they made the trip, if that was the sole reason to minister to Paul's needs, but certainly it came to be part of it. So I was just challenged by that. You know, maybe my opportunity sometimes is simply being there for my fellow brother, just going to pay him a visit. Maybe that's a way I can be refreshing to him. This morning, use the opportunities that you have. You know, God doesn't call everyone to go helping the work in Ukraine or Bangladesh or Honduras. You put the place and location there. God doesn't call everyone to those places. We can't be everywhere. If he does call you there, go and serve him there. They need help. They need people to serve there too. But don't this morning miss the opportunities right here in Romulus or Ovid or Geneva or Owosco or wherever you find yourself. God's looking for you to be faithful and bright in the corner right where he has placed you. Be faithful, even if it seems it's just a small thing that really doesn't make a huge impact. "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." Don't forget that. Use the abilities that God has given you. You know, not every one of us has the same abilities. Not every one of us has the same calling in Christian service. 1 Corinthians 12, just a couple chapters previous, tells us that God has given different gifts to different members of the body. And my area of service may be different than yours. It probably is. And yours from the person beside you. But we all have a part in this. You know, God doesn't require talents of me and of you that we don't have. But he expects us to use the talents that he has given to us. And he expects us to use them to the best of our ability. Finally, bringing this to a close, you know, at the end of the day, at the end of life, we will be judged by, according to our service to others and to our brethren. I was planning to turn to Matthew 25. Why don't we do that? Matthew 25, quickly read some verses here. Matthew 25, I'll start at verse 31. Jesus talking here, he says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or sick, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Very sobering verses here to me. Jesus says, inasmuch as you have or you have not done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have or you have not done it to me. And it's very clear to me from here that you and that I will one day be judged by the opportunities to serve others that came our way. How are you, how am I doing in that? Can this be said of you and of me, that we're dedicated to the ministry of the saints? I would challenge myself and all of you in this. You know, what are my priorities? If I'm not addicted to the service of the saints, is it because I have some other addiction? Is it because I have some other priority, that is to serve me instead of others? I would just like to chat us to take to heart the example of this godly man and his family and be inspired and perhaps more dedicated to the service of God and his saints. God bless you all. Let's pray.